Okay. Hi, and welcome to... I do this every time.
Do you want to hear what Eric said last night?
Eric can say... No, I don't.
Okay.
I know what to say.
Up both times.
I don't think I mess up both times. Yes, okay.
And the outro.
Leave this in. Hi, and welcome to Funny You Should Ask, the podcast of Belmont Wesley Fellowship. We are recording today in the studio at Belmont United Methodist Church, which overlooks a children's playground. So if you hear the joyous laughter of children in the background, that's what's going on. It's not necessarily because of us, but it is because we're here. So today we are continuing our discussion of what college students look for and want in a home church. We've had some great conversation around this so far. And today we welcome one of our students, Eric. Eric is a freshman, so brand new in college. And Eric is from Paducah, Kentucky, which is an amazing place and a magical place. So Eric, I'd love for you to share about your home church and what makes it special and what it has meant to you. And also in terms of you trying to find a church fit in Nashville, what are you most looking for and what do you most want out of a home church?
Well, my home church in Paducah was Broadway United Methodist. It's very similar to Belmont United Methodist. When I walked in, it had the same exact feel as Broadway has to me. And there were a lot of there was a more old group of people at church, there's an older congregation, but still a nice amount of younger people there. So that was very familiar to me. Broadway, such a lovely place. I love Broadway.
It has a swimming pool.
Yes, it's
not
connected
many, not
with...
Not many churches have
yeah,
a swimming pool.
It's pretty great, and there's a nice old gym with a broken roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, broken windows. It's got a lot of character.
It does.
For sure. But yeah, we've got the swimming pool. What else do we have? We've got a nice bell. Actually... Funny story, our bell was struck by lightning this last year.
Really?
Yes.
How does one know when a bell is struck by lightning?
Well, the bell tower, not the bell specifically. There was a horrible storm, and then my mentor, John Sparks, he went into church the next morning, and there were these large pieces of the bell tower. I don't know what material it was made of, but it was scattered across downtown, these giant... pieces of whatever the bell tower was.
We're gonna assume that was God's judgment for something.
Yeah, I mean, he was the hath rained down upon man.
Yeah,
or
I think
something.
Marty McFly trying to get back to 1985.
This is a great Back to the Future reference for all of you listening at home keeping score. So John, and I happen to know John, and shout out to John. We should have done on the podcast with Emma, shout out to Kate McKnight, one of her amazing youth ministers, and a longtime colleague and friend of mine. And also Laura Jean, who is the pastor at Broadway in Paducah. Laura Jean is an amazing friend. And actually, when I was living in Kentucky, and there was an apocalyptic ice storm.
You lived in Kentucky during the ice storm?
I lived in Kentucky during the ice storm. I had no power or anything at my home. I was just left for dead. And so I fled to Murray, where Laura Jean was living. And Laura Jean had power and you know, a fireplace and things. And so I actually lived with her as a refugee in the midst of that natural disaster. And so I will always, you know, have a special place in my heart for her saving me, taking me in, even though I was an alien and a sojourner.
Yes.
So very, very Old Testament, that situation. So we get that kind of like Belmont UMC is a church that has that sort of same feel as Broadway, kind of demographically roughly the same.
Yeah, even the building looks right, a lot similar.
Right, but what about what a church sort of offers, or what is important to you that is a part of that church that you are most seeking at this point in your life and most connect with?
Well, it's kind of interesting to me especially, but the reason I liked Broadway so much, well, before I started going to Broadway, I went to church with my parents, and my parents, they go to a Lutheran church, and Lutheran, both churches were essentially the exact same, pretty much the same liturgy and call and response type of feel. But when I came to Nashville, I love like the old style, I guess is what you would call it, like the traditional worship
mm-hmm.
style, and that's why I liked the Lutheran church, and that's why I liked Broadway. The reason I went to Broadway was because at the church I went with my parents, it was me and my best friend, and we were the only youth there.
Mm.
And it was absolutely horrible, and I never wanted to go to church, and neither
right.
did he.
Yeah.
And he ended up going to a different church, and then I went to Broadway. So it all worked out, and there are still no kids there, which is kind of sad, but that's okay. They're making it. But the reason I liked Broadway so much was because it had the call and response. It was the same as the Lutheran church. But then when I came to Nashville, the first church we went to was Home Church, and
mm-hmm.
At Broadway we have a summer camp type of thing called Pump Camp, and I was on the worship team this last year, and it was a lot more contemporary, and I thought that was really cool. I had never been a part of a contemporary style worship. I'd gone to contemporary services before, but that wasn't my every Sunday
right.
type of thing.
Yeah.
And I really liked Home Church, and that's where I've gone a few more times just because it's so different from what I'm used to.
Mm.
And
mm-hmm.
I want to find the best church in Nashville, whatever that is. I don't know right now, but I think Home Church is where I really like right now just because it's so different from what I'm used to.
Mm.
And I think it's kind of cool to experience different things out of the norm every now and then.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I resonate a lot with, and that's kind of one of the, you know, in talking with students, one of the things that we are looking at is this kind of, I call it a myth, not to say that it's not true, but just that it has this kind of, it seems to sort of always be true. And most people take for granted that like all college students want like contemporary service and like rock band and these kinds of things. And we talked we've talked with several students about how, you know, that's kind of a half truth in that, and that's sort of where I come down to, as you know, I mean, I'm 36, so I'm not young in lots of people's eyes. And I get called old a lot, but especially for United Methodism, I'm still pretty young. And so I have a real, real heart for liturgy, for tradition, for everything that sort of makes up traditional worship. But I also love going to Home Church or the Village, or, you know, churches that are very much more contemporary worship. Our worship on Tuesday nights at Connection at Belmont Wesley is obviously much more contemporary and based in that. And so I think the thing to cut through maybe is that it has to be one way or the other for someone, that really a lot more people find different meanings in both experiences.
Yeah.
And some of it may be, again, just that, you know, you've had this experience for a long time and you're set with that, and this newness kind of awakens something different in you, or a new kind of creativity or something.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't sort of have to be there necessarily, but I think for those churches that maybe are uncomfortable ever having different experiences, you know, if I were to make up a kind of dream church, it would be one that has a worship experience a lot like ours on Tuesday nights, that you know, we will do Be Thou My Vision, and we'll do Come Thou Fount, and we'll do It As Well With My Soul. And we'll do them with piano, but also guitar, and also violin, and also mandolin. And so, you know, it's more of an openness to what best fits that song or what's going on with it, or the gifts of the people who are engaging in it, rather than we're trying to be a certain way, mm-hmm. or anything like that.
It's more like combining or bridging the gap between contemporary and traditional.
Right. And I think, I mean, you know, I've had this situation where, you know, there's some songs that should never be played by a contemporary band.
Yeah.
Like, it needs an organ, and it needs, you know, like an orchestra or mm-hmm. something like that for it to really, I think, move people and connect them with God in that powerful way. And so if you're kind of always locked into, like, you know, well, we have to play everything on, you know, a keyboard and a not very good drum set or something like that just to show that we have a drum set, like, yeah. I think that's kind of silly. But I think there is more discussion needed than just, in order to have students come here, we have to have this thing. It's more about meeting the students, connecting with them, and seeing kind of where that takes you, and realizing that we're all very, in our worship lives, complex, and we're not just all after exactly the same thing. Are there any other things about either that you've connected with at home church, or that you're kind of hoping to find in a church home here?
Well, actually, going back to what you said, still on the sorry to just throw your question out the window.
No, of course.
But at Broadway, well, in Paducah, we have this thing called the Paducah Symphony Orchestra, and it's the best musicians from Paducah and the surrounding areas. We have a lot of talented musicians, local and professional. And every now and then, probably once or twice a year, there was a service at Broadway where all of the hymns were sung with, not the entire orchestra, but
right.
a piece from every section of the orchestra. And that was always my favorite.
Yeah.
And nothing, I don't think, can ever compare with that. So I think definitely about the orchestration of music. Right. I enjoy contemporary worship, but I'll probably always hold traditional a little higher. And that's definitely different from what a lot of other people my age would probably say. I know contemporary is, everyone loves contemporary worship my age, and everyone wants to go to Crosspoint or Ethos or wherever, just because, like, it's so, that's what they want, and that's what they're geared for.
But I wonder, I think this is the real interesting thing to me, is if you put each person really to the question about that worship, is it about that music or that music style or that that, you know, instrumentation or whatever, or is it that certain churches are the it church? And that, again, like, kind of cutting through, and again, it can be both, and it's not necessarily either or, but I do think that there's a lot that I see with students of, I go here because everybody I know is going here, or that this is you know, the it church or the cool church or whatever. And it may, again, really well line up with a lot of other things with them. But I do want to kind of, that's the thing that I'm really interested in, is how deep does that go? And what is the, you know, again, what is the extent to which they've experienced that other kind of thing, like traditional worship done extremely well? And you know, that would, I think, probably, I, you know, it's like, if you have that kind of worship experience with an orchestra or whatever else, I don't know how anybody cannot be moved by that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that to me is like, you're not really that much alive if you sit there and you're like, this sucks, or I'm bored, or whatever.
Or like, when you hear a really good organist or pianist,
right,
or whatever, it's impossible. And I guess I'm slightly biased. My mom was my church's organist.
Oh, okay.
But
well,
so
then we're
that
throw
has
out everything. You have to
yeah,
say.
You can just discount everything I say. But that's part of the reason why I probably like traditional services so much. But now, whenever I hear a really good organist, it's so great.
Yeah. And it's sadly a dying thing because
there are
so many, again, churches that either have said we're just not doing this anymore, or it's too expensive to keep up an organ, or it's too hard to find organist because it's kind of died out and everything. So yeah, if you're hearing this and you want to tap into potentially a growth industry,
be an organist.
Be an organist.
And contact me because my mom can teach you how to play the organ. So
there
we go. We've got a pipeline set up and everything.
Yeah, that's the biggest reason we did this today. It was actually to inspire some of you to be organists. Well, Eric, thank you so much. We have actually double Erics today. One Eric is recording. The other Eric was talking to you most of the time. That's the other Eric. Both Erics with K's
right,
in their names.
Right.
We won't tell you where the K's are, but indeed they are there. So that's kind of a rare moment. But again, thank you for listening to this. We would love to hear from you, your thoughts on our discussions. And if you have questions or if you have topics that you would like us to explore and ask our students about, feel free to email us. Or again, if you want to become an organist, we can hook you
up.
Yeah,
we can work that out later.
But email us at BelmontWesleyFellowship@gmail.com. And also, if you are interested in supporting our ministry, supporting the work that we do with students, you can go to belmontwesley.org and go to the support or donate tab. I'm going to look that tab up today so I won't get it wrong anymore.
Done it on all three.
Yeah, we keep getting it wrong. But anyway, I'll fix that. But we would love for you to support our ministry. Everything that you give goes to support our students in their experiences of going to awesome places like Home Church in the Village and going on trips like the Real Foot trip that we're going to be talking about soon. So thanks again for listening, and be an organist.